Just a few weeks ago, I was able to spend a few days with some other pastors, and I was excited about it, but I also was a little challenged by it. Some of these men I hadn't really ever met or gotten to know. And when I enter a new group of people, it's very easy for me to be completely self-preoccupied, swallowed up with being self-conscious, and then, you know, as the conversations are happening, just replaying my words, analyzing how I came across, wondering if I impressed people, wanting to be admired by people, wanting to be liked by people, all wrapped up in how do people see me. And this is what I constantly have to come back to, not how do people see me, but how does God see me? When God looks at me, when God looks at you, when he looks at you, what does he see? Does he see the crooked teeth? Does he see the acne? Does he see the dumb things that you wrote and sent out? Does he see the impatience in your heart? Does he see your defective features and your fatal flaws? Is that what he sees when he sees you? No. That is not how God sees you if you are a believer. You might say, but doesn't God weigh the hearts and judge the motives? Doesn't God see envy and unbelief and jealousy and hatred in our hearts? Doesn't he see all that? He knows about all that. Yes, he knows about all that. But that's not how he sees you, believer. The gospel tells you that when God looks at you, he sees the excellence of Jesus Christ, the worthiness of Jesus Christ. He knows your sins. He knows your sins, but he doesn't bring them to his remembrance. When God looks at you, he sees his loved son. And God, when he sees his loved son in you and on you, he is well pleased with you. That's how he sees you. Have you felt that? Have you felt the love and the pleasure of God as he sees you? Now in this meal, we take bread, the body of Jesus. We need more of Jesus. That's what we do this week after week. So take him. Take him into yourself as you take the bread. And in this meal, we take wine, the blood of Jesus, his death, which brought you out of death and into his life and into his identity. So when you take this supper, you say this, Jesus, I need more of you. Come again to me. Build me up. Free me from my fears. Free me from my utter misconceptions about how you see me. Feed me once again. Jesus arranged this supper. It's a new Passover meal. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And I will feed you as you do it. So if you have come to know Christ as he's revealed in this gospel, which we've spoken about, and if you're a member in good standing of a gospel-believing church, we invite you, take part of this supper. You need it. Christ commands it. If you're here with us and you're not a Christian, and you're not sure what to make of Jesus, you're still weighing it all. You're still trying to make sense of it. We're very glad that you're here. And we invite you to stay. We invite you to watch what we're doing. But don't take the supper. It's only for people that have made that commitment, declared that they are Christ's and Christ's is theirs. But watch it. Watch what we do. Ask questions. We would love to talk about it. Now let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would come to us in this supper, in the bread, in the wine, spiritually. Be with us and nourish us and show us more of yourself and keep our hearts from becoming ossified and brittle. Warm our hearts. Increase our love for you and increase your love towards us in our sight. Show us a bit more, or a lot more, of the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of God in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.